Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and as I've been telling you all week long and earlier, we have a very special guest today. His name is Tom Sawyer. He was the head writer and showrunner of the marvelous, one of my favorite series, Murder, She Wrote. Yes. We love that wonderful lady that just seemed to have the most interesting experiences in the most interesting places in life. Well, Tom has come out with a dynamic mystery conspiracy novel. It's called No Place to Run. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I'm delighted to be here, and thank you for the kind words about Murder, She Wrote.
Well, it is. Angela Lansbury is one of the absolute finest actresses, I think, character actresses especially. She's just marvelous, and I still enjoy watching Murder, She Wrote. I just think the stories were great. You only had a sad downside, and that is that so many people she knew got shot, popped, drowned, something happened to them. You just say, I love this lady. It just would be nice if some of the people survived.
We used to joke at the show that she was the angel of death.
Well, she was a sweet one, and she even made apple pies. You can't go wrong with that.
Oh. I know.
Well, you have done this book, and the subtitle under it is The 9/11 Commission Didn't Refute an Inside Job, but they certainly didn't expect two kids to expose it. Now, this is such a fascinating novel, and you are a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, aren't you?
A little bit, I would say so. Yes, I must confess. More politely, I think of myself as a skeptic.
You're a man that keeps your eyes wide open. Well, I think when it comes to writing a novel, what you have done here is just absolutely gripping. It is very exciting. How did you come about putting this concept together? What was it that stimulated the thread that you have through it that enables you to bring out so many facts?
Well, I began researching 9/11 several years after it happened. I didn't instantly think of it as being suspect. But the more I read about it, and even discarding what I regarded as the sort of fringe theories, there were certain aspects of the event and the events that led up to it that just struck me as being, hello? Mm-hmm. I mean, the kind of thing that in the writing trade, we call them plot conveniences, and we try to avoid them. Things such as besides the fact that the conspirators, the hijackers, were known to the FBI and known to be taking flight training and known to be not interested in learning how to land a plane. On the day itself, if anyone takes a few minutes to study the timelines against the protocols that have been in place for decades about what happens when planes go off course or are suspected to be hijacked, none of those protocols were followed that day. And plus, probably the main plot conveniences consisted of the fact that there were almost no fighter planes in the Northeast Corridor that day, and there were none within 130 miles of Washington, D.C. Now, by me, that's a lot of coincidences.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, then you got a concept for this story, and you have some fascinating characters, of which there are two young people in here. And rarely do you ever see, unless you're watching a Disney movie, do you ever see young people doing anything. But in your story, they are, and then some.
Well, that framework came to me out of a concept that I had had for a television series many years earlier. Basically, I was trying to do a variation on the original Fugitive series and came up with the idea of two brothers who would be the fugitives, trying to find out why their parents were killed and why people are trying to kill them. And so I decided that since I had never written a young woman protagonist before, I love challenges, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
since I had never written a young woman protagonist, I decided to turn the older brother into an older sister.
Ah, yes, and oh, she does the part so well. She really is a glowing irritant. Of course, anybody that has known young people would say, that's unusual? I don't think so. And especially with a younger brother. I mean, that's a great scenario. Now, you have the character Bill that you open up the story with and an interesting personality called Mace. Now, some of the things that you do with your book, they're very intriguing in that you have some visuals in your book. And they're visuals that are part of the clue system throughout the story, the mystery, that, believe me, for those of you listening, will keep you gripping the edge of your seat. You won't be able to put the book down. These visuals are very well introduced. Now, so many people that write mystery novels, they don't have any of this. Why did you choose to put that in?
Well, in the writing trade, Alfred Hitchcock coined the phrase the MacGuffin, the object or objects of great value that everybody is after and the bad guys will kill for. And in this case, I needed some concrete evidence of, you know, some shenanigans that took place on 9/11, something that I decided to make, you know, not exactly a puzzle of, but for those puzzle fans who are into that, it can be an intriguing set of clues for them. And these papers were uncovered right at the beginning of the story when a contract killer by the name of Mace Michaels is convicted in a Santa Monica courtroom of a murder that he did not commit. And as they're leading him away, he whispers to his attorney, Bill Lawrence, that he has certain papers hidden under the floor of his rented house in Venice, California, that will get him off. They are documentation of a contract, an assassination contract that he carried out on the morning of 9/11.
Isn't that cool? This is a guy that's going to be, it's get arrested for a murder, but they got him for the wrong one. Oh,
yes.
This guy
did it for a living, but
yes.
But ironically, they had convicted him of one that he didn't commit.
Right. Just there's so many twists and turns and odd scenarios that you have in there. Now, you bring in a woman, a character by the name of Antoinette, and she loves to dig up dirt. That's the only way I know how to say it. she really is a fascinating woman. Who did you base Antoinette on?
Well, not anybody really. You know, I wanted, again, to give Bill Lawrence a connection to someone in the FBI who he could talk to clandestinely and say, look, I have the goods on what happened on 9/11, but I'm only going to give it to you if, you know, you put us into witness protection immediately. Well, it occurred to me that the best kind of connection would be his ex-girlfriend from college, who is now the deputy director of the FBI. And so you know, it's fun. I mean, you know, Donna, for years in television, people used to ask me, you know, what people would say, what do you do for a living? I make stuff up.
That's a good way of putting it.
And I get paid for it, and it's great fun.
And you just
fun.
Love it.
I love it.
You absolutely love it. Now, with this, I told you when I finished reading it and we were setting up the date to have you as a guest, I said this would make an absolutely awesome movie. And I know
bless
that one,
you.
Yes, one day it probably will get in there because I could just see it in my head, just working out all of the exciting moments. Well, let's talk about another character that you have in here, Claudia. Let's talk about her and how she comes into this.
Well, Claudia is a young career woman who has recently come back from New York, is working for an ad agency. She's a copywriter, and she's working for an ad agency in L.A., and she's been reunited with her boyfriend from college. They're living together. And all of a sudden, she is wrenched from that life. One morning, the following morning after the father finds the goods, wrenched from her boyfriend by people from the Marshals Department, who those are the people who handle witness protection. And they don't tell her anything. They just yank her away from her boyfriend, put her in a car, and take her to an airplane hangar outside of Los Angeles. And she clearly doesn't like that.
I don't know of anybody that would get excited over that wonderful bit of attention.
So, you know, I mean, it's all about trying to entertain people while you're telling a gripping story. And in this case, you know, since I believe that there is way more to 9/11 than the 9/11 Commission report revealed, I just felt that doing it through fiction, I would have a chance to reach a wider audience, perhaps, than if I tried to foist it off as fact and hopefully make a few people think.
I think it does accomplish that. Now, we have two spunky kids. We have Deborah and we have Adam, her younger brother. And, oh, he is a mischievous little imp. And she has got a mind of her own and hates her younger brother. He is a real pain for good reason.
Yeah.
I would totally agree with her. He is totally an incorrigible. But they end up really going through some interesting things, don't they?
Well, he's based on my grandson.
Oh, there we go. Now we've got a live one. You had a real example here. Okay.
I have a grandson who can best be described as a genuine piece of work.
And he's immortalized forever in this.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, please.
With this, we have these characterizations, and in today's world where it seems like every parent appears to be overprotective of their children, things have changed so dramatically that kids don't even walk a half a block to get home anymore. They're picked up by parents. There's this paranoia. Here are these two plucky kids that are out here innovating and doing all kinds of things that you go, yahoo! Boy, that's what we need. More kids like this. Of course, if we were the parents of same, we may not be saying that. But it's somebody just reading this. This is just great. It really gives a whole different, refreshing look.
Thank you so much. I'm so flattered that you enjoyed it. And they really had no choice. Their parents are killed the first morning they go into witness protection. The morning after, they're all taken into witness protection and wrenched from their lives and their friends. And all of a sudden, people are not only have killed their parents, but they're trying to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And these two young people have to find resources in themselves that they never knew they had and survive, and in the process try to decipher, once they get their hands on these papers, try to decipher what they mean, because the meaning is not apparent to them right at the top.
You bring out the information about the bombing in Oklahoma in your book, and you have the McVeigh recipe, which is what the Oklahoma City device that had been the nickname that had been assigned to it. How much research did you do on the Oklahoma bombing?
Well, I didn't have to do that much, but in my research I found, and of course the computer makes all research so much easier these days, as you know, and in this case, I needed to have her framed for having purchased certain ingredients that would be an explosive that would blow up their parents' car, because the bad guys wanted to frame her for the murder so that everyone would be chasing them. And I went back to the McVeigh thing and the Oklahoma City bombing, because that recipe is readily available on the web. Anybody who's looking for it can find it, and anybody could go into a hardware store or a series of stores and buy the ingredients, and that's, you know, fit my needs perfectly.
Yes, it would. In fact, that has been something that has been discussed ever since the Internet became public. And there is so much information out there, which is a blessing. And we do have to be aware that instead of things being hidden the way they used to be, although they still can be hidden, even destroyed, people try to do that, there still is those various options, like you said, in doing research, are so many venues that you can explore. And that's something that you bring out in the book, too.
It's fascinating. I mean, the accessibility, not just for writers, but for people who want to perpetrate these things. It's all there.
Mm-hmm. And there's no magic wand. You just go out and buy what it is. And that's something that you bring out in the book, too. And it's just a fact of today's world and the technology.
It is a reality. It is a reality, not necessarily a pretty one, but certainly a fact.
Now, speaking of technology, you address the fact that entries change, numbers are altered, and this is becoming so much more prevalent. We have people typically known as hackers. Many times they actually work for government agencies, and these people are so brilliant, they're able to get into just about anything. I mean, most of us, the average individual would go, duh, why bother? But for them, because they are so bright, it's a challenge, and they like the challenge, and they want to beat the system.
Exactly. As you mentioned, one of my heavies, he was the victim of the assassination on 9/11, was a computer hacker hired by the bad guys because he had been able to hack into NORAD, the North American Air Defense Command, and such as that, and mess up their communications. And that's what I felt was, and I still feel, I mean, the more I wrote the thing, the less it felt like I was making anything up.
Yeah, and that's what makes this book so fascinating. You have a term, Washington insiders. You bring out points of information about four various individuals of high positioning that are involved in certain decisions being made. And you have this weaving of detail that will take you, I think, take the reader, I know it did me, into what you think is a labyrinth. You don't want to put the book down because you're saying, wait a minute, they're going to catch them. They're going to get there. Yep, they got this information. Oops, wait a minute, got to turn the page, find out who else has come into the book there. It really does keep you mentally focused, and it really makes you aware of how very complicated life can be and how the bad guys are on multiple levels, not just on one level. It would be so convenient if they were, but then you'd only have two pages in your book, so you can't do that. So we've got this dance of action that's going on throughout the entire story. And the kids, when they get involved, because they're almost killed, and the girl is putting pieces together, and, I mean, you just think, what if you were in that same situation? What kind of rationale would you use? You watch all kinds of stuff on television, and maybe all of a sudden it's real life. Would you do the same thing? How would you think it through? What would you do? And I think that's another part that grips the reader. They're putting themselves sort of in that positioning. They're feeling it, and then they're reading it. And they go, wow, would I have thought of that?
Well, that's, you know, when you're writing a thriller, that's of course, what you're trying to do is keep people on the edge of their seats and keep them turning the pages and, you don't always succeed, but here I also, as I said, was trying to make a point about something that I believe in, but I wanted to make the point in a very rational, considered manner against this, you know, these dramatic happenings. And that was the challenge, and One aspect of this that you might find interesting and your listeners might find interesting, Donna, is that it took me 3 years after I finished the novel to sell it, to find a publisher with the nerve, Sterling and Ross, with the nerve to publish it. One, probably my favorite example of the kind of rejections that I got came from the head of one of the major publishing houses in New York, who said to my agent that while he really liked my writing, he was frankly offended by my premise. And he added, he said, I look out my office window at Ground Zero, and I don't want to believe what Tom is putting forth. And I said to my agent, you know, I said, those are the buttons I want to push.
Create challenge and to make people think. You have a paragraph in your book, and it's Mace Merrick is brought up in this paragraph, as we said right at the beginning when we were starting to chat about your book. He is a professional assassin, and they do exist. And then there's a person that had been involved with him, but Mace Merrick had miscalculated, and it was a fatal miscalculation for him because he didn't realize the limitless power wielded by the people for whom he had been working. And you know what popped up when I read that paragraph? It was the X-Files. Because that was one of the premises that the primary character in X-Files, who was always going out, finding out, saying, there are people here that we don't know anything about. They're behind certain things. We need to bring them out. We need to expose them.
I totally agree. It's one of the reasons I love the X-Files. And as a matter of fact, I patterned one of the scenes in the book after the X-Files. And it was the one where my rogue FBI agent has to go to talk to these people. And they meet in a dimly lit hotel suite in Washington, D.C., and there are people there, mostly men, from all different countries and all different walks of life, obviously not you know, working class, but, you know, various areas, diplomacy, business, the military, and I very much had, you know, they did that so well on the X-Files, that scene with those mysterious men.
Mm-hmm. And there was another portion of your book when your character, Claudia, they reached a point in the investigation, and I put in the margin, follow the money.
Yeah.
That one's easy. Part of it.
That one's easy, but
yes.
I didn't invent it, but neither did Oliver Stone.
yes. But it's an adage that I don't care if you're dealing with Roman history or the world of today. It is the same. Follow the money. Follow the assets. Follow where'd it go? What happens to it? Who's getting it?
Absolutely.
You think of what's been going on in the news just in this year with all of the things with Wall Street and so many other businesses, and stuff has been exposed, and it's always been follow the money. Who's getting the money? And more of this is coming out. It is nothing new, but it is a very, very significant part of life's experiences, and I'll tell you, I'm not going to give it the information about who did what or what, and all of these wonderful visual clues that are here in the book, along with the wonderful story. It is just absolutely mind-gripping, fascinating, provocative, and it opens you up to all kinds of ahas, I think, just to be aware of what's going on in today's world, because that is the scenery it is written within. Tom, I know you have a website, and I know your book is on Amazon.com and all that kind of good stuff, but you have a software program for people that want to know how to write. I mean, there's so many things about you. You have such a fascinating history. What's your website that people can go to and find out more about you?
Well, thank you so much, Donna, and thank you for the kind words. The website is thomasbsawyer.com.
Thomas B. Sawyer.
Right. B as in Benjamin. And they can learn about me and my books and my software and, you know, other things, including a few of my attitudes.
A few of your attitudes, aha. And you've got a few of those attitudes in the book as well. The title, again, is No Place to Run. And if you feel like your life is boring and you'd like to have something interesting, if there's nothing on television, pick up this book. No Place to Run. The 9/11 Commission didn't refute an inside job, but they certainly didn't expect two kids to expose it. It is wonderful. You won't be able to go to sleep. You'll stay up all night. So if you're going to read it on a Friday or Saturday night where you don't have to get up early in the morning to go to work. But whatever, you can read it anytime. I'm just teasing. Tom Sawyer, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Donna, for having me. Your show is wonderful, and I wish you years of success. And thank you for your kind words about my book.
It's been a pleasure. Don't forget, go to his website. I mean, after all, if someone could do all of those wonderful scripts for Murder, She Wrote, think of how good this is. This is a few years after the fact. Go to his website, thomasbsawyer.com. Absolutely wonderful. No place to run. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I know we've got a caller on the line, but I want to be sure to let those of you listening know that you can reach me through 888-815-9756 during this next half hour, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Now, when we take the caller, you'll see how it's done. All I need is a first name or an initial, and after that, then you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling in from, too. And quick like a bunny, I do want to mention to those of you who are in the state of Washington who are listening to this show that on the 26th of September, I'm going to be doing a special appearance at the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Club Expo. This semi-annual event is absolutely wonderful, and I invite you to come on out and join us because we've got all kinds of speakers, including myself. We have got exhibitors, people with products and services that I'm sure you'd be interested in finding more out more about. Now, this is being held at the Kent Commons at 525 4th Avenue North in Kent, Washington. 98042 is the zip code if you need to get map instructions. It's going to be opening at 9 in the morning until 5 in the evening. And again, this is fabulous. You can go into their website. Go to bepcweb.org, that's bepcweb.org, and you will find out about all of the other details and information you might be interested in. Again, mark that on your calendar, September the 26th. It's a Saturday, a wonderful day. It's a family event. Bring the kids, bring the husband, bring the wife. Just have a good time. It is just delightful, and I'm so pleased to be a part of that. This is Donna Sebo. Let's show you how it's done on the show. First name or initial caller, and where are you calling from?
Carrie, and I'm calling from New Mexico.
Where in New Mexico, Carrie?
It borders on Arizona, so it's a little tiny place called Rodeo.
Rodeo. Oh boy. So you're are you at the Four Corners area?
And kind of in that area, yeah.
That's a beautiful, beautiful section of country. All right, Carrie, let's take a moment here with you. The first thing I'm looking at is you're packing a suitcase. You're going to, it's not a big one. It's sort of like an overnight suitcase, and you're packing, and you're going to be going to a conference. And as I'm watching you prepare for this, your mind is going in many different directions, wondering who you're going to meet and what all you will be able to experience while you're there. And I want to say, be sure you take along business cards or the equivalent thereof. So those people that you interact with, that you will be able, if you want, to make notes on the back of cards to give to them, or you can just be sure that you don't meet anyone without having an exchange of some kind. Apparently, you are choosing to do more networking than you have done in the past with people, and I think this conference is going to go a long way enabling you to expand your networking capabilities. And this is, I think, a very strong learning curve. I think this is something that's going to enable you to see how you can have those dollars in your pocket that you want to have because of the work that you want to do. But the networking is the key. It's who you know as well as what you know. It's a combination of the two. So you're going to find yourself moving right along and feeling very enthusiastic after this conference about the results that you're going to attain. There's also something where you feel like you have got a hurdle that is in your way. It's not a gigantic one, but you are frustrated because it's as if once you take care of one hurdle, it seems like another one is popping up. And I have to say that the reason this is occurring is there is a patterning of discipline and professional skill that is being tested and developed by your dealing with these hurdles. So I don't see them as a disadvantage. In fact, just the opposite. I see it as a strong advantage because the hurdles are going to enable you to be more adaptable with some of the changing circumstances that will be evolving as of spring of 2010. So just keep moving forward, and you're going to find that you're gaining a lot more ground than you think. You're not going to be able to see it right away because there seems to be quite a bit of interference, but you will within 3 months, by pretty much almost by the end of the year, you're going to see how far you've actually come and how much you've accomplished, but the job isn't done yet. You've still got other things that you're going to be doing. So just be patient with yourself and with the circumstances, because it's one step at a time, one day at a time, and you're slowly but surely reaching your objective. Do you have a question for me?
Well, it goes along those lines, slowly but surely reaching my objectives. I'm wondering if you know if I'll be working with a woman named Sally or Diana.
Well, I'm seeing your path cross theirs more than once. So I think you're going to find yourself interacting with them. But I don't know that it's going to be with either one of them a long-term ongoing kind of a situation. They seem to be part of the step process of moving forward that you're taking. So I would just appreciate and enjoy the interaction that you have with them and just allow it to unfold. But don't put all, as the old saying goes, don't put all of your eggs into one basket. Keep moving forward.
Okay.
I wish there was some easy magic formula, but I haven't discovered it yet.
Okay. Well, I was looking for a job with either one of those ladies. Do you see me gaining a job at any time soon?
I'm not looking at anything real soon. No, but I think your networking with them has a significance. So you just don't know who's going to connect with what.
Okay.
So don't give up on either one of them. Understand you're learning how to effectively present yourself, and there may be other individuals that they know. So don't worry about this, and don't just say, I'm going to just fixate on them. Don't go there.
Okay.
Because I think you will be able to find some work within actually a relatively short period of time, but you have to keep moving.
All right.
And I want to thank you for your call, Carrie.
Thank you.
And have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, too.
This is Donna Siebel. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all I need is your first name or your initial, and then, of course, I'd like to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, just let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me anything that you like. I wanted to go back to Tom Sawyer's book, No Place to Run. And the reason I want to go back into it is at the very end of his book, he has a postscript. And I wanted to read it as it is written. And this is how it goes. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time, and as required, make swords as well. But now we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments factory industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. We annually spend on military security more than the net income of all the United States corporations. This conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development. Yet, we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. Those words were spoken by President Dwight David Eisenhower in his farewell address, January 17, 1961. It always surprises me when people feel like we are just entitled. There is no such thing as entitlement. We have to earn it. And freedom is something that is not easily gained. For there are all too many who feel that it is better for them to be the oppressors, the owners, the masters of those they feel they should control. It's an age-old type of a patterning, and it exists in our world today just as strongly as it always has. But if we as individuals remember that the right of freedom is something that others have been willing to fight for, to give their lives for, and we are enjoying it right here and right now, just in this broadcast, this is a demonstration of freedom. This is something we need to remember we have to protect. I don't often go to that positioning in my programming of making a statement of that nature, but I've seen so many things change, and I would like for you to remember your right to freedom is your right, but we do have to stand up for it. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going very well. Who am I speaking with?
My name's Paul.
Hi, Paul. Where are you calling in from?
From Fraser Park, California.
All right, Paul, will you stay on the line? I have to take a break, and
okay.
We'll be coming right back, and your call will be the first one.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Paul. Thank you, and we're going to be coming back talking with Paul, and if you'd like to chat too, 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Remember, you can call me at 888-815-9756, but we're going to be going to Paul, who is in Fraser Park, California. Paul, are you still with me?
Yep, I'm still here.
Great. Okay, Paul, the first thing I am looking at with you is the word change, and I'm seeing you with what appears to be like a map in front of you. And you have pretty much put out a diagram of what you feel that you need to do, just like anybody who would going from California to New York would do if they were going to plan a trip. However, all of a sudden, I am looking at you moving the piece of paper around, and someone comes along and they say, go this way. And you are going to be so surprised because it's as if it just totally surprises you in the sense that you go, I would never have thought of that in a million years. And that's what I'm looking at. I am looking at you because of someone. It appears to be a male. And as I'm looking at this man, he is very specific. He's very abrupt, very specific, gives you the information, and then it's like, well, it's up to you to go take care of it. And then he turns away. So you are going to find yourself in a unique positioning where all of your plans that will have been laid out so expertly are going to be changed, and you're going to have to do it, as the old saying goes, on a dime. You're just going to have to go put on the brakes, and change direction. You'll be able to do that. Very easily, it'll surprise you at how easily you'll be able to make the shift and change. And then it's as if you arrive, if you will, at your destination and saying, wow, I wish I had known about this earlier. But you have apparently put out questions or inquiries to different individuals that you would respect, asking for their feedback. And then they, in turn, are going to give you what you ask about. They're going to give you their perceptions. And this one individual is going to empower you in a way, in such an efficient way, that you're just going to shift. That's the only way I know how to say it. So you've got a lot on your plate. There is a lot to do. There is a sense of urgency on your part, but it's as if I want you to relax and release the urgency. I want you to relax. I want you to release that urgency. It has propelled you to a point, but it's paralyzing you now. So I want you to release it and say, okay, I've got to trust. Let me move forward with this. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust. But you still got your antennae out. You're still watching, looking, listening. You're not dropping the ball. but it's releasing what you cannot control, releasing the anxiousness about same. Do you have a question for me, Paul?
Yeah, I've had a lot of strange things happen to me lately. It's more on, like, the spiritual level,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain, you know, just, you know, one day everything started to fall in place. And, you know, certain events in my life, you know, have been, you know, really life-changing. And right now, yeah, I feel like I'm kind of stuck, you know. I, you know, ended up losing my job, and, you know, now I got two kids to watch, and, you know, I'm stuck up on the mountain, and, you know, and I just trying to find the right direction to go into.
Well, let me ask you this, because I believe that within, I'd say, I don't know if it's weeks or months, within a relatively short period of time overall, you are going to be employed. What kind of work were you doing, Paul?
I was a carpenter, but I have actually, you know, changed my field into tattooing.
Okay. So this is an arena that's a very specialized arena. And are you still actively involved in working? Is that something you'd like to pursue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's nothing, you know, just to feel like you did your part.
Well, you know? I would say, Paul, if that is your passion, if that's really what you enjoy doing, because someone involved in the area of tattooing has to be a very, very skilled artist. So if this is something that you have an interest in, then I would start asking around. It's not that large, what I'd call a circle of people involved in tattooing, but there are a number still, and I would talk to them and brainstorm with them, because I'm seeing someone having a shop where they would really like to have additional help. Have you ever thought of going into an area like Las Vegas or, you know, something, I don't know where Fraser Park is. Is that Northern California or Southern California?
Southern California. It's over there by Magic Mountain.
Okay.
That area. It's on the Grapevine.
Okay.
Yeah, I've considered doing that, you know. I'm just trying to, you know, I try to play the cards, you know, run them through my head and stuff, and to see, you know, what would be best for me, you know, due to, you know, having the kids and working around schedules.
That's
true. And
stuff
like that. But I've considered actually doing that, you know.
Well, I don't think you would have, the person I'm looking at that has the shop, they really want someone that can sort of work odd hours. So if that is something that you've been concerned about, I wouldn't be concerned. I would just be honest, tell them that you have a family, you have children, and that you have to be able to work, you know, sometimes maybe a swing shift, sometimes something else, and ask if they would be open to that. And I don't think you're going to have a problem if you're up front in the beginning about it. I really don't think so.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask, too, like on my spiritual level, you know, I mean, I started really becoming intuitive to certain things and, you know, opening my eyes. And I'm just trying to, you know, I kind of want to embrace it. And I'm wondering, you know, what direction should I go with the whole spiritual?
Well, lots of times, if you're talking about being able to do readings for people, being able, if that's what you're wanting to address, this is something that requires practice, because the intuitive process is as normal and natural as breathing. And when you continue to read, when you continue to study, and when you continue to practice, that's when you find out how it is going to best be utilized by you as an individual. And all of us are very, very unique in that way. So this is something that if you find a group of people that you like that you can talk with, regrettably there's not a lot of spiritualist organizations or churches around, but there are those various groups, and just make inquiries. There's many different organizations. Many times people like to get together and talk about what they're experiencing, and finding those people that you would enjoy having as a mentor. It is a do-it-yourself job. I wish I could tell you otherwise. but it is a do-it-yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And I got one other question.
Paul, I'm going to have to tell you, I've got to go. I'm out of time. I'm so sorry. I don't like to have to cut you off like that, but we are out of time.
All right, Donna. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, and you'll be able to call in again. Thank you so much. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, the hour went by like the wind. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow will be a best of Donna. I am going to be traveling tomorrow again, and we'll be back with you live on Monday. Don't know that you've been blessed in so many ways, that this is a day that is just filled with opportunity, but you're the only one that's going to be able to accept it when you recognize it. Do that. You won't regret saying yes to life. This is Donna Siebel. See you on Monday live. Tomorrow we'll have the best of Donna. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.